Major McCaskill?
Yes, Chaplain McCaskill. How you doing?
Chaplain. I'm good. How are you?
Good. Doing fine. How are things back in Tuscaloosa?
Cold. It's a little chilly here right now.
Is it? Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, it's a pleasure to speak with you, and thank you so much for taking the time to do this.
And thank you for taking the time to do it with me. So I'll just jump in here. I'm going to start with basic questions, and then we'll get into more detail. So what unit are you with?
I am the first TSC. I'm with the first Theater Sustainment Command.
You said the first, did you say theater?
Yes, first theater, T-H-E-A-T-E-R, theater, sustainment, command,
okay. All right. And when did you join the military?
Oh, you're making me think back now. I joined the military in I joined the military in 1979. I had a split career between military, between Air Force and Army. Does that make sense? I joined the United States Air Force in 1979 and served until 1987. Active duty, Air Force.
Okay.
Then I pursued a civilian career with the Department of Justice.
Okay.
During that interim period, I actually was appointed as a chaplain in 2007 in the Army. During that interim period, I was in seminary in a program they call Chaplain Candidate Program, but I was actually, in 2007, officially appointed as a full chaplain, as a chaplain, United States Army. I won't say full.
Okay. So did you pick up, I know you said you had the split career with the Air Force and the Army, so did you include both of that between 79 and 87, or...
No, when I got out in 87, that's when I joined the Justice Department in 1987.
Mm-hmm.
And I served with the Justice Department until 2010 when I retired.
Okay.
However, in 2007, I received a full reserve appointment as an Army chaplain.
Okay, so that's your duty then.
That's my duty
with the military.
I say yes to the department, but I was actually an FBI agent. But I prefer to say Department of Justice.
Okay. All right. And so how many times have you had to, deploy to Afghanistan as a chaplain?
This is my first time.
Okay. Are you there? How long have you been there?
I've been here since August, so it's about 8 months, a little bit over 8 months now. It's August of 13.
And you've been there working as a chaplain then, since then?
Yes, I am the, for the first, here's the statement, I am the operations and the family life chaplain.
I'm sorry, operations and?
And family life chaplain forward in Afghanistan.
And what does that mean exactly? What are your duties as the operations and family life chaplain?
Well, let me break. As operations chaplain, I lead. Let me break it down as what a chaplain does.
Okay.
My responsibility is to provide religious support and leadership for all of my units that come under the first TSC in Afghanistan, and we have quite a number of units. I am also I'm also a religious support staff officer, where I provide, you know, I advise my commander on matters of religious support. Morale, you know, that kind of thing. Here, I also lead and mentor my other chaplains that come under this command throughout the theater of Afghanistan, and they're spread throughout Afghanistan.
Okay.
As the family life chaplain, I also provide counseling support, not only to the people under my, the soldiers, authorized civilians under my direct command here, but also I provide counseling and support for chaplains and chaplain assistants if they need it as well.
Okay. All right. And when are you coming home?
Let's see, about I'm gonna be completing additional work here. So I think the best thing to put down is to come home as soon as I can.
Okay. No time.
Does that make sense? Because I don't know exactly.
Okay.
For me, you know, for me, I don't know exactly.
Okay. So how many, you said that all the units that come under the First Theater Sustainment Command. So how many units are there?
Because we cover the whole Sugola.
Yeah.
Not just Afghanistan, but we're all over the world.
Yeah, but I just have Afghanistan, though. I don't know if we can give the number. I don't think we can really give the number of units throughout Afghanistan. But I mean, we can safely say that it includes several thousand soldiers and civilians.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the best way to put it, because we can't really give out the exact units.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And that includes soldiers as well as authorized Department of Defense civilians.
Okay. Okay, so this would be your first Easter deployed, correct?
This would be my first Easter deployed.
Okay, well, let's see. With that being said, what will you be doing as far as like Easter services are concerned?
Easter services. Where I am now, we do have some services, because I'm not the only chaplain here in the compound I have here. So mm-hmm. we'll be some, but I'll also be traveling on doing some Easter. I'll be traveling on Easter Sunday as well, doing some services. One thing I do is, in my position, I do travel a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, for example, we travel and to outline areas and visited soldiers and, you know, during the Christmas holidays.
Okay. But so what will you be doing exactly? Like, is there a certain, like, I don't know, like a worship service or anything like that that you'll be leading?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you describe that to me?
Well, now what I'll actually be doing when I say that, I'll be on circulation, actually doing, conducting some visits on Easter Sunday myself for that, because that's what I do. But at the same time, I do have supporting chaplains here where I am that will actually be conducting services here at this particular compound.
Okay. Can you describe, like, what you would do on those visits?
On the visits, normally when I go out and do those visits, I will speak with my subordinate chaplains and chaplain assistants. You know, every chaplain has a chaplain assistant,
mm-hmm.
and I will conduct operational and welfare checks on them. I'll also speak to unit commanders when I do visits. I think the best way to put it, I would do unit commanders and leaders from whatever unit they are supporting as well.
Okay. Can you describe to me, like, maybe some of the services that will be happening on Easter that you said the supporting chaplains where you're at right now will be doing?
Yes, we'll do, like, last we did, like, the Palm Sunday services last Sunday. This coming up, you know, we like to do sunrise services, but given the schedule that we have, we can't. So what we'll do, we will just conduct a regular worship service. However, the focus on it will be, we'll have an Easter theme from it as well. Now, with that being said, you know, I do have chaplains that have other from other denominations as well,
mm-hmm.
and they're, for example, Catholic chaplains will lead you know, their regular Catholic services and different things like that, but. Other than that, I think, you know, for Easter, we'll just conduct our regular, you know, our regular Easter services. You know, over here in theater, there are a lot of, you know, special kind of sunrise things that don't necessarily, you know, we don't necessarily do. But you know, we will hold appropriate services for the soldiers and civilians.
Okay. So, how do you think that, you know, affects, you know, the soldiers' work as they're there, being able to practice their religion and things like that?
You mean as far as services?
Yeah.
I think the services definitely will give them the spiritual resiliency, and of course, they, you know, by the free exercise of their religious faith is obviously something that we will ensure with commanders that is done. But we provide the opportunity for you know, the soldiers and authorized civilians to, and we ensure, I'll put it that way, that they have the appropriate time and place to exercise whatever, you know, religious faith that they have here. And so we'll ensure that is provided for our soldiers. That's important because, it helps build the spiritual resiliency for them, and that's important when you're, you know, in theater here. It helps increases morale and overall spiritual wellness for soldiers.
Okay. All right, let me see.
I hope I asked you a question when you said special services. I mean, we normally have, we have regular scheduled services, and a lot of times we give, you know, we give specific Easter things around the Easter holidays and stuff.
Okay. So y'all have regular services every Sunday then?
Yeah, or? Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. every Sunday. Right. We don't just come with a special service. We have services every Sunday, and you know, in some places they may have something on a different day, Friday. It depends on your faith, group, you know. But every week, they're probably the best thing. And during the week, depending on your faith group, will have the appropriate services on the appropriate day.
Okay. All right, let me see.
Does that make sense? Does that clear it up a little bit?
Yeah.
Also, Bible studies. That's probably, we have regular scheduled Bible studies.
Okay. I'm just trying to check my questions here. So, what is this? I mean, for you, what is it like being away from home on Easter?
Making me think now, huh? Can I call you Easter on Easter Sunday and let you know? you know, I'm not sure so much if it's just Easter. I think when we talk holidays, you know, holidays bring back memories of family and of friends and of loved ones. So, you know, it's always a time, a special time to remember and to reflect. And it's also a special time that I like to reach out. Of course, I reach out and call home all the time, but I like to especially reach out and connect with, particularly with my family back there. So, you know, for the soldiers, the holidays can be an especially difficult time, again, being away from family and friends. So, you know, we try to encourage them, particularly around the holiday seasons, to you know, make a special effort to reach out for the families and loved ones, you know, around that time frame as well. Yeah, you know, like for Christmas, we decided to travel, and so that was one of the reasons so that we could really circulate and during that season to just get out and spend time with the soldiers. Serve, you know, we actually serve lunch and, you know, dinner to them, and just be there for them as well.
Okay. All right. And so what do you think it means for the soldiers to be able to, you know, I guess, like, I'm sure it's important for them to continue to practice religion while they're deployed. So how do you think that your services help them?
Well, I mean, when you say to practice it, we make sure that they have the opportunities, number one, to practice their religious faith. We want to make sure we do that. I want to make sure I get what you're asking me. We make sure we provide the opportunities, for them to actually practice wherever, you know, their faith, patron denomination there. If you're asking me how does it help them, I think many of them, through the practice of their faith, again, gain the or keep the resiliency level needed to function in this kind of environment. The hope and the faith and everything that comes, you know, comes along with that. I think it just it continues to build that and build that total resiliency that that they need. You know, I think one thing too is the counseling. We do an awful tremendous lot of counseling here as well, and again, the counseling is a tremendous piece because oftentimes, particularly younger soldiers, they want guidance, they want marriage relationship guidance. You know, some may want spiritual guidance, some may want financial guidance. So that is a tremendous piece for us, and that really consumes a large part of our time as well. You're just giving them the counseling support that's needed.
And what are some of the things that you have seen in Afghanistan, like ways that soldiers have practiced their faith and their religion?
Well, I mean, number one, through you know, church attendance, obviously. I think that's one. That's one way they do it, through Bible studies is another way that they practice. Through prayer breakfast, we have prayer breakfast, those kind of things they're able to practice. Think some of the other ways that they'll do it. You know, sometimes it just depends on the particular faith group or whatever that you have. They may have some additional ways, but I think those are the kind of main ways that that they actually will practice, you know, here in theater. And of course, you know, they may even do their own self devotional time. I think that's a big piece of them having their own devotional time as well.
Okay. And can you explain, can you describe a typical service? Like, is it inside or outside?
Are you familiar with, you're in Tuscaloosa, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with Elizabeth Baptist Church over on Elizabeth Street? And tell us, Pastor Swift, does that name ring a bell? Hello?
Yes.
Okay. I was asking you if you were familiar with Elizabeth Baptist Church in Tuscaloosa.
I'm not.
You're not? Okay. You know, typically, the services are going to be inside, first of all. The services are going to be really not much different from your services at home there. You know, we will have, and when I say that, I am ordained Baptist, okay? So I start, you know, from that perspective, but I don't want it limited to that perspective because we have a lot of other ongoing chaplains doing other things too. You know, we have Jewish chaplains, As well, you know, we have they have the Jewish services. We'll have Catholic chaplains and others holding services. So I won't just limit it to my viewpoint, but you know, a typical service here is really not much different from a typical service back in Tuscaloosa. You know, the order of service is typically not that much different as well. You know, you'll have, you know, I mean, it is very, very similar. I think most of the places I've been, it's inside. It may be a more rustic-looking building, or it may be something that's a little bit more modern looking. If I send you some video or something, almost I got some of the services, you'd probably think you were in a church in Tuscaloosa.
Okay. That's good to know. Except with a bunch of guys standing around in there.
Yeah. I mean, you know, a lot of it depends on how sophisticated the base or whatever, you know, is and what the facilities are like. You know, I mean, the typical chapel, you know, what we call them, could be, you know, almost a typical kind of a plywood constructed, rather rustic looking, or it could be something that's, again, that looks about like what you'd see some places in Tuscaloosa.
Mm-hmm.
And the services are, I mean, for example, I appreciate one church, they've got praise dance team. That's at, what is it, Bagram? That was at Bagram Airfield. It was your typical church service, and they had a praise and dance team. Now, again, I'm Protestant Baptist, okay, so film that, but it was very well put together. Music support was there. A lot of times you see a lot of PowerPoint in some of them. It just depends on where you are. I've conducted services in Kandahar Air Base. And, you know, both of those places I'm naming, you have preached to hundreds of folk. And if unless you knew where you were and you just walked in there, you would think you were in Tuscaloosa, the services.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah, surprise, huh?
So all of these, come Easter Sunday, there will be different services for different
faith groups.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. Whenever you do one, it would be the Baptist, right?
Well, it would be Protestant. I won't say I'm actually what they call a Protestant chaplain, so it would be Protestant, not Baptist.
But not
under the Protestant, you know, under the Protestant umbrella comes Baptist, Methodist, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm. But not Catholic or Jewish is what I'm.
No,
basically.
No.
Okay, gotcha. So they would have a different chaplain for that then.
They would have one that was specifically trained and endorsed by that denominational group.
Okay. Now, do you have any pictures we could use?
Yeah, I got tons of them. How many you want?
Just maybe a choice of maybe five, I guess, and, you know, just some of your, what you think are the best pictures, you know, some sort of, like, you know, the church service or anything like that.
Okay. I had a couple of things, Angel, I think that will help you out.
Okay.
As a chaplain, one of the things that one of our essential roles is, and we'll talk about it, is to nurture the living. In your TUR, nurture the living,
mm-hmm.
care for the wounded,
Mm-hmm.
And honor the fallen.
Okay.
Along with that is because one of the things we do, when you think about your local pastor, I think you have to think really broader than that, because we have a much broader challenge. I mean, we'll do memorial ceremonies, and I've done 6 memorial ceremonies since I've been here. Can I say NATO? I've done 6 NATO memorial ceremonies since I've been here.
Mm-hmm.
That's a significant part of what we do, because we do, you know, we are a coalition here, so we have to think a little bit bigger than that, you know, of many other countries. That NATO is a ceremony is combined, it's coalition for its joint memorial ceremony
mm-hmm.
from other countries as well. I'm just trying to give you the broader picture here. You asked me about the importance of what we do. And one of the quotes that I really like is one by General of the Army, George Marshall. He said, "The soldier's heart, comma, the soldier's spirit, comma, and the soldier's soul are everything."
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I think describes what we're all about in the chaplaincy. Because, you know, our sons and our daughters are certainly our, and those who wear, you know, wear the uniform are certainly the nation's greatest treasure here. So the mission is, in terms of what we do, can take on a lot of different things, because if we do have instances where we have wounded, we will ensure they receive support as well, mm-hmm. spiritual support. And that's one of the things that I ensure my chaplains under me are able to do when it comes to traumatic event management there. I want to make sure that they are able to provide the counseling support that's needed out there, but also to care for those that are wounded or injured in any manner. That's one of the things that, as a family life chaplain, I make sure that those chaplains under me receive the proper training. And when I say chaplains, I want to chaplains and chaplain assistants, because a team, a religious support team for any unit we have, and we have a number of those, but it's a team concept. It consists of a chaplain and chaplain assistant.
Mm-hmm.
I have a chaplain assistant that works with me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know we're in Kabul, right?
I'm sorry?
Okay. You know that we're in Kabul here, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. All right. So I know you didn't ask me, but I'm trying to I want to paint a little bit broader picture of how we operate.
Okay.
Here as well. So, you know, part of what I do is, I guess, number one is to make sure that religious support is provided. But I'm also a staff officer on my commander's staff here in Kabul. And I also, you know, religious support is the commander's program, and that's his responsibility to make sure that you know, the free exercise of religion is I guess, for lack of a better word, that it's available, but I provide that religious, professional religious advisement to the commander.
Okay.
That makes sense. So, as such, I'm in a lot of staff meetings. Okay, you probably can relate to that one. I'm in a lot of staff meetings. I'm in a lot of planning meetings and those kind of things as well. It's a very busy job. Our days here are longer than 12, sometimes 15 hours a day. Yeah, most of the time it consists of many meetings. How many meetings do we have a week, maybe? Yeah, lots of them. So it's very busy, and one thing that's important for us is that we also have to make sure that as chaplains, all the chaplains are busy, they have meetings, but make sure that we stay resilient ourselves. And one of the things I do is make sure my chaplains and chaplain assistants, okay, I want to thank chaplain assistants, stay connected as well. Your chaplain is going to be an officer, and your chaplain assistant is going to be a non-commissioned officer. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. NCO. Right.
Okay.
Now, back in Tuscaloosa, I'm also an associate pastor. I'd like to give a shout-out, if I could, for my church, because they've been so good. Elizabeth Baptist Church.
Okay.
Yeah, it's on Elizabeth Street.
Let's see, I think I have that on the sheet, email she sent us. Yeah, she's got it on here.
You got that? Okay. And I give a little shout out that I'm just, when you say on special days, I miss my wife more than anything.
Wait, say that again.
On the special days, I miss my wife. Actually, I would say family, but I miss my wife. My she works out at Bryce's. My wife's a nurse out there at Bryce's.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think during those special days, I really miss her. And and of course, my grandkids. I got three of those. And of course, my two kids there. Now, my son is on the Tuscaloosa Police Department there.
Okay.
Yeah, he's with PD. I got a son, and my daughter lives there, too. And my daughter-in-law. If I start saying daughter-in-law and mother-in-law, everybody get mad. So I probably just say wife and kids and family or something, huh?
Okay.
You know, did I answer your questions about Easter? Normally it would be straight, but on Easter I'm going to be in transition, traveling Easter.
Mm-hmm.
And for myself, and I'm probably going to be out of country, you put it that way, Easter, doing something else. But I will be probably doing a service, but it might not be here where I am in Afghanistan.
Okay.
Yeah, because we have a broad focus on that. So other than that, I think that you answered most of my did I answer most of your questions?
Yeah, I believe I have everything. Let me make sure that I've got the spelling of your name right, and you don't. She's got Major Henry McCaskill Jr. So,
yes. It's that's correct. You know, the army, chaplains are just simply called chaplains. You know, in most everybody else, they call them a major or a captain, and I am a major. That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
But the title is, rather than saying reverend, we say chaplain, or sometimes they say chaplain major. Okay, because and that's we just, you know, that's typical protocol. But you know, you might want to just chaplain it in with, I put in parentheses, major.
Okay. Yeah, we'll do that based on our style. Let's see. So let me spell this out for you just to make sure it's she didn't type it up wrong or anything like that, because that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Henry, H-E-N-R-Y, correct?
Right. Uh-huh.
Okay. And McCaskill, M-C, then uppercase C, A-S-K-I-L-L?
Yes.
Okay.
Junior. Right. I'm a junior.
I've got the junior on the end there, but that's typical JR. We know that one. All right.
Rena, I asked you, because there are three of us in Tuscaloosa that's Henry McCaskill.
Okay.
That's me, my son, and my grandson.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll definitely put that junior in there.
That is great. Now, aren't you going to ask me what everybody else asked me?
I don't know.
They asked me, how in the world does an FBI agent become what is he doing as an Army chaplain?
Oh, yeah.
Retired.
But I guess that is an interesting story. Yeah, really, seriously, how did that happen?
Oh, I give you the most truthful answer. It's God's call, and I think being a chaplain is a special call from God on your life. And and he called me to do it. And at the time he called me, I went to seminary while I was I went to seminary at night while I was working during the daytime in Denver. I was in Denver, Colorado at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it went on from there. I was one of the first responders at Columbine, believe it or not. And I've got many other stories I can tell you, but we probably have time. But,
is that why? Is that what you know? Put it. I mean, is that what made you realize the calling then?
Oh no! It wasn't. It wasn't Columbine.
Okay.
No. It was. You know, when you say God's calling, it's the sensing that God in your life that God is calling you to the ministry. I mean, and it's the same answer for any pastor. It's something that God puts on your heart, and you can't run from it. You can't hide. Well, I suppose you can, but, you know, it's so compelling, let me say it that way, that I knew that it was what God wanted me to do. How about that? That's all right.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, because the calling is compelling. Yeah, it's compelling. And even Apostle Paul said that, you know, so, you know, just one of those, one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So I was actually ordained in the ministry in Denver, Colorado, and later transferred to my final transfer was to Tuscaloosa, and that's when I retired in 2010.
Okay, well, I mean, what made you I know God's calling, but. What made you want to jump back in, you know?
Yeah, good question. I tell you exactly why, other than that. When I went to seminary at Denver Seminary, when I started, I met a chaplain, Air Force actually, a chaplain, that impacted my life tremendously. One of my instructors. She's one of my instructors at Denver Seminary. And we talked about the chaplaincy, and I was encouraged. Matter of fact, I took a course from her in military chaplaincy at seminary, and she was a great influence on me. In addition to God's calling,
mm-hmm.
And I can tell you one thing is that. Since I've been a chaplain, I haven't regretted I haven't regretted it one day in my life. I've enjoyed the army. I love anybody in the armed forces. I love it, and you have to have a special love for that. And let me add one thing too. We also support not only just the soldiers, but also their families. Okay, that's a big piece too.
Mm-hmm.
Soldiers support their families, as well as any authorized Department of Defense civilian. But we're very family centered.
Mm-hmm.
Here, and even back in the States, it's the same thing. When we go back, we will provide counseling to the family as well, ensure that counseling is available when they need it, and those kind of things.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and we also will do retreats, seminars, some of the things that your church will do as well. Some of us are certified to teach various courses, such as the five love languages.
Mm-hmm.
You probably heard of that one.
I think so.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, different courses like that. We are also certified to teach and help provide to our soldiers.
Mm-hmm. So how are you appointed now to the chaplain?
The chaplaincy?
Mm-hmm.
The way it works is, you obviously have a military appointment process. Army. I'm Army, so it's their process. Thank you, Mrs. Stoker.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
we dropped you again. I'm sorry.
It's okay. We're almost done, I think.
Would you do me a favor?
Sure.
I love my little sweet hometown. Would you put in there that I'm a native of Greensboro, Alabama?
Mm-hmm. I can do that.
Can you do that? I love my hometown. You know where that is, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's in the email she sent, I think. And if it's not, it's
okay.
It was in an article I read. So okay, so I was just asking you how you got appointed as chaplain.
What did I tell you? I must have been talking. I gave you a whole story, and you didn't hear me. Let's see.
I didn't.
I got appointed. I think in 2007, and I think I was in the middle of. I had to apply and put in a package, for the Army, which is just and they call it an accession package that you put in that, obviously has your credentials and, physical, just the main things that any Army officer would need to come in with, plus your educational credentials as well.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the critical things is that you also have to have an endorser's letter as well. In other words, a letter from your denominational endorser.
Mm-hmm.
Every chaplain has to have that. And since I am Baptist, my endorser is the National Baptist Convention, USA Incorporated.
Mm-hmm.
That's in Nashville, Tennessee. Yeah, that's my. They're the largest African American convention there.
Okay.
But not that but they are the largest. So, and once you get all that package through, then and you get accepted, then you will. The Army Chaplain School is located at Fort Jackson, South Carolina, and you'll go through their course you know, as well. But, you know, it's like anything in the military, your training is always continuing. So we're always training and going to conferences and going back to schools and, you know, because I have the military professional officer or staff officer side of me. I'm like a two-sided ship. I have to be a staff officer like any other staff officer, but also I have to be a chaplain. So I'm different. I'm training in both areas as we move forward there. Because sometimes if you get that piece, I'm a staff officer just like any other staff officer, responsible to do staff officer responsibilities and tasks as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which translates really easy into a whole lot of meetings, PowerPoints,
mm-hmm.
briefings, planning, you know,
mm-hmm.
And those kind of things as well.
Okay.
You know, I guess like in the past, they're going to have administrative duties, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then they're going to have the other. So that is the professional staff side of us as well, you know, which poses, I mean, I won't say a challenge, but it's, I think as a chaplain, you have to be pretty broad in terms of skills, if I'm making sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need the pastoral, but you also need the staff officer skills as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The Army's going to do your training. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Okay. And how old are you?
75. I'm just kidding. I am 56 years old.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's see. So how old were you when you retired?
Not when I retired from the...
You said you retired in 2010.
Yes, I retired from the Justice Department in 2010 now.
Okay. Justice
Department. I retired from the military. I retired with my FBI career in 2010. I retired right in Tuscaloosa.
Okay.
Out of the Tuscaloosa office. I was in the Tuscaloosa office, yeah.
All right, let me get that down. So, last thing, and I'll let you go get back to what you need to do. Do you have, like, one crazy story that stands out in your mind during your time as a chaplain in Afghanistan?
You're making me think now. Let's see. I have too many crazy stories. I mean, I've got a lot of great memories.
Just anything that stands out.
You're making me think. Bear with me a minute now. I mean, I've got a lot of good memories. Geez. Oh. Don't have too many crazy, you know, just kind of.
Well,
crazy.
It doesn't have to be crazy.
So,
let's see. What was the best day as a chaplain?
Oh, best day as a chaplain. Oh, you know what? Oh, I'm gonna tell you my best day as a chaplain. You're gonna love this.
Okay.
Meeting President Obama.
Okay.
I forgot to tell you about that. I think I put it on there. I was the lead chaplain for the presidential inauguration for the 57th presidential. That was the last inauguration.
Mm-hmm.
That was in 2012. The inauguration was 13, but I was... I spent several months back at Fort McNair, back in Virginia, and that was one of my most fondest days. I make the difference between the fondest and the best day, and I'm gonna explain that because that was one of the greatest days. But my best day as a chaplain is when I can help somebody become a better person, because that's really what it's all about, you know, mm-hmm. about helping people. Whenever I have those days, I come back and I just smile and I thank God, because I've helped. I've made a difference. I made a positive difference in somebody's life. And I come. That's what I meant when I said a lot of fond memories.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my greatest days. Is when I come back and I do. A lot of times, maybe down the road, sometimes they'll call back, email, and say, "Thank you for this. Thank you for that," or what have you. Those are my best days, but perhaps one of my fondest moments. Well, actually, it is. It was meeting President Obama and getting a chance to serve on the Presidential Inauguration Committee.
Okay.
For the 57th Presidential Inauguration. I loved it. Loved it. Loved meeting him. I almost forgot about that.
All right. Well,
what else? Was on my worst day? No, that wouldn't have been at a chaplain, though. So what's that line?
Something about here.
Hang on. A great day for you. A great day. Here, I'll tell you what. I think one of the best days, and I had a lot of them, but probably one of my best was to get a chance to. The memorial. I really enjoyed the memorial ceremonies that we did. Meeting the coalition force members, from various countries. That has been phenomenal. While the memorial ceremony is a solemn occasion, being able to conduct worship services. And things of, various locations. You meet various folks from various countries there. That's something I enjoy a lot. I enjoy meeting military members and civilians from various countries all around the world.
Okay. Awesome. Sounds good.
Hey. So I would call it a memorial ceremony a best day. I would call it one of the most solemn days, maybe. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and those were NATO memorials too. So it was very special, because not many chaplains get a chance to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's few and far between too. To do the NATO memorial ceremonies.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Chaplain McCaskill, I've had a lot of fun talking to you, and I really appreciate you giving me time for this interview.
Okay, and then I'll see. I understand y'all get a draft out, right? Manuscript, and I'll take a look at it. Does that sound right?
I'm sorry?
I call my wife so she can get out and she can get the interview down here in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Okay, I give her a call then. So I still expect you about an hour and a half.
Yeah, and those pictures.
Okay. And, okay, tomorrow we get
the pictures.
Okay.
All right, okay. Thank you so much.
All right, I have enjoyed. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. You too. Have a good day.
Same to you.